We could characterize these crystals by looking at their echo diffraction pattern with real precision. And these were correlated with some tedious chemistry, which I won't tell you about. But I spent weeks doing zinc diathionite experiments, measuring the amount of zinc in these crystals, depending on what you get. But we actually got the system completely tapped. I knew when the crystals were free of zinc from the diffraction pattern. And we got these crystals and we added lead acetate. And there was an immediate white precipitate. And I said to Dorothy, God, look at that. She said, Guy, lead citrate's insoluble. Didn't you know that? So I had to wash the citrate out and then put an acid and then beautiful derivative. Unbelievable. We knew then it was solved.
So when was that?
It was about 1965, 66.
Right.
It was sold in principle.
Yes.
We've got the lead in, we could see anomalous scattering, we could get cadmium in, we got zinc in, we had the zinc-free series. So between those three series, we ought to have been able to solve it, and nowadays it would be a doddle. But the data weren't good enough because the equipment wasn't good enough. I mean, the trouble was, rhombohedral symmetry is a bastard on the equipment we had for collecting data. It was called a linear diffractometer, and it was a pain. So it was very cumbersome and time consuming, and you couldn't collect a data set with one crystal.
Was it the best there was at the time?
We were all in the same boat. So out of that we got our first map, in which we saw features like helix, and we could see what the histidines were, but we couldn't go any further because we couldn't interpret the maps, they were messy. But there was an awful lot of truth in them, and we knew that it was just a matter of improving the quality of the heavy atom derivatives. And it was about this time that Tom Blundell and Fijian came. Now Tom was a PhD student of Tiny Powers, and he was very clever, very effective man. And he was dithering between doing a postdoc in protein crystallography with Dorothy, working on insulin, or going into politics. And he finally elected to do a postdoc with Dorothy. And he brought with him very, very good grasp of chemistry. He was a really good chemist. He understood metal ion chemistry, and he came up with lots of ideas about different complexes of metal ions you might use. And he produced two very important derivatives, which were solve some of our technical problems, absolutely, so we could get a very good basic set of phases. And we knew all sorts of things from the information that those derivatives gave us. The trouble is the derivatives never went to high resolution, so the maps could never be interpretable, but they were correct. They're correct maps, they were too low resolution to solve them. So we spent a year with Fijian collecting the data, Tom doing the chemistry and soaking, me tending to do photographs and soaking and a bit of data collection, Ella doing most of the computing and the refinement calculation. We worked extremely well as a team. They were very happy days. We all found
our
spots.
What was Dorothy's role?
Dorothy was a pretty invasive observer. I mean, she'd come and look at the maps and talk and encourage and disappear and come back. And she was tremendously supportive and very helpful. I mean, we had some very subtle Pattersons. And, you know, we all worked like dogs on them. And it was actually one of the more testing times, because these maps were affected by the extent of the data and by the quality of the data, but they were all right. But we had all sorts of reason to be worried about them. And sorting those Pattersons out and having Dorothy going through the arguments, it was bloody marvellous. I mean, we all worked together on that. There was Eleanor who did the computing, and she actually, you know, was a whiz at computing. And she, with Margaret Adams and myself, worked very hard on using anomalous scattering data effectively in refinement, and that was very, very important stuff, which I'm bloody pleased to have had something to do with. It was really very satisfying. And then Tom and Fijian would do the soaking and analysing data. It was just almost interchangeable, but there were principal roles for all the four of us. And what was Dorothy's role, you ask? Well, as I say, she was more interested in the maps and what they told her than the experimental work, because she just was unable to do it. But she was very shrewd about the chemistry, and you know, she Tom and I would listen to each other's statements on the chemical reactions, and Dorothy had ideas to offer there. And we were really thinking, well, we were trying all sorts of things, but Tom came with all these ideas about urinal. And now, to be fair, the urinals have been tried before, but Tom had ideas about making them work. They've just been damaging until Tom came along, and Tom had ideas about controlling them by altering things like pH, time of soaking, temperature. He tried everything, got bloody useful information, critical information, by doing those experiments, and that was something that I hadn't done, Dorothy hadn't done, and Marjorie hadn't done. Derivatives in Tom's urinal acetate, urinal fluoride, and a thing called mercury pyridoxal, which was a crazy thing that worked. We got a map. The third map. There was a second map. It wasn't quite interpretable. Oh, I've forgotten something. That's right. The first map was collected on data from a linear diffractometer, and so was the second map.
Mm-hmm.
And that had all the derivatives, I think, or many of them that we finally used, but the map really wasn't interpretable. Then we got something called a four-circle diffractometer, which was a new technology. With that, you collected data much quicker, much more smoothly. We had to all sorts of mechanical things that you had to do with the linear diffractometer. You didn't have to do with the four circle. It was automatic. That arrived in 1968, I think, or maybe even 69. We collected all the data again, all of it. A calculated map was interpretable. It was just a question of accuracy and precision.
So once you got that, it was kind of bang, done.
It was, I mean, I'll tell you, it was incredibly quick. Yes. And see, because of the work we'd done, we knew how to make those derivatives, we knew how to collect the data. So when we went to this new machine, it was slightly sleepwalking. We knew, we just made them and collected the data. We knew that with the extra precision, the phasing were going to be a lot better.
Mm.
And we worked like dogs. It was just, I mean, I should try and remember. But we should try and remember when that four circle came, and I can find that out by ringing somebody who actually installed it. But it was probably late 68.
Right.
And within a couple of weeks of arriving, he was collecting data, and he got gorgeous data. And I realized, God, merging hours, agreement values about 2-4%. Well, this is what we needed. So we realized it was all over. This man was called Ted Baker, and he's a very able character. Well, Ted started collecting the data on the diffractometer, and we all started, got it all working, and then we just, Fiji and Tom and I, started collecting these derivatives, one after the other, the lead zinc free, the lead zinc, the heavy urinals, and the whole lot, and collected them, and started putting the phasing together, and this took us right through to early summer. And early summer, Tom wanted to go to the States for 3 months. I remember saying to Tom I didn't think he should go. I thought the stuff was going to come over the summer. Tom just didn't believe it. And it's taken all these years. How could it possibly just fall out? And he decided to go for the 3 month holiday. And of course, he went off in June, and we solved it in late July. I mean, just everything fell out. And, well, David Phillips came in when the map was calculated, and we had it stacked together on plates, flush. And he looked at this map and he said, the penultimate map, I think. Because you could see it was good, but I mean, you could look at this, it was just a shamble. But when you separated it, it was instantly interpretable. And Dorothy and I, we knew we could, in this map, we knew where the zinc was. We could see the zinc, and we just, Dorothy, PG, and me just walked our way through it. It took us about 2 days. Started on a Friday morning, finished about Saturday lunchtime. And, well, this is known. I mean, Dorothy worked so hard. Her feet swelled so much she had to take her shoes off. She was in stockings and she wouldn't stop. She was in great pain, but every time we got another residue, she would look at it and we'd get it right, and PG and I would put it, because she couldn't put it into this growing model.
Oh, you were making models.
Yes, you're going. And she would look at it and look at them, and yeah, the next one's a protein. It was fantastic. Everything was working, just building up the sequence as we went. And the moments of excitement when we did the disulfide bonds, because the disulfide bond linkage was defined by a man called Sanger. He did the sequence, of course. And Dorothy knew that he wasn't totally happy about the disulfide bonds. Only one experiment had been conclusive, and didn't think that was enough. So we got the disulfides clear, and that was nice. We got the definition from them, and they corresponded exactly with Sanger. And just everything came through. It was just a day and a half's work. So that was very nice. And so we agreed between ourselves, if Tom gave the paper, that would be some compensation for missing out on everything else. So we took all the slides over, and Dorothy explained. Then Dorothy rang me up and said, "You must come," because I had no intention of going.
Mm.
And we were actually terribly excited. And frankly, I was much more happy to be working on the structure, tidying up, thinking about things with Fijian, who'd actually got married. And I have to check this with Eleanor. Somewhere here around this friend, he got married. But we were all very busy. And Dorothy said, "Well, why don't you get married on Saturday? Have a nice little honeymoon and come back to Leeds on Monday." Sweet little honeymoon and come back on Monday. And I'll never forget Fijian's face. But my memory is he did come back on Monday, actually. I think he did. But I can't remember exactly when the wedding was. I think Tom was away for that. It was over the summer. I think it was leading up to the solution of the structure. So it was very, very tense. Anyway, Fijian didn't go because he was waiting for his honeymoon, I suspect. I went, and Tom gave a very good lecture. I mean, he was right on top of it. It was a very good lecture. It was a very moving occasion. I mean, he started off by saying that the structure was started before any of us were born and things like that. And I think Dorothy was very moved by it. It was a lovely occasion. And that was when it was first.
Was it written down, that paper? Was it written down? I forgot to
ask no, him. I don't. Well, I don't. You know, he wouldn't have had time to prepare it seriously. I mean, Dorothy was very generous. Because, I mean, he'd missed out. He had deeply missed out, and we all felt pretty damn complicated in a way. Not that complicated, but a little. I mean, I knew how he'd felt about that. And I'd never had anything like this in my life. One of the great experiences. And I didn't find myself at all concerned that Tom was presenting the work.